It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
This is kind of a pre-Brouhaha segment, and Mark Carpenter is here with Bob Brewer. And I kept saying he was a brewer at Anchor, but you were in sales there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, get closer to the mic, would you? I'll turn it to Mark. You guys have known each other for a long time.
For a long time. Bob is really something, and I'll let him tell his history in the beverage world, but he wound up working at the brewery. I knew him before he started working the brewery, but he wound up working at the brewery, and about that time, we started selling beer in New York, and it wasn't going all that well. And I really wasn't in sales. I was a brewer.
Yeah.
And Fritz said to me, Mark, would you go to New York and see if you could stir things up, you know? And I said, well, okay, I'll go. Can I take Bob with me? And he said, sure. And so that was really a real beginning of a long relation with Bob. And we'd hit New York City and just go from bar to bar, and we really got to know each other. And Bob could drink with the best of them. And we used to sit in bars and just drink beer until a manager would finally come and talk to us. And I told him earlier, thank God for chicken wings, because we would just keep drinking and eating chicken wings.
It was a waiting game.
You know? It was a waiting game.
They didn't want to come out and talk to you because you're going to try and sell them something, but we were going to wait them out.
Yeah. When your last name is Brewer, and again, you were in sales. Are you retired, or you don't look old?
I'm retired now. Yes.
Oh, okay. Did you just think I should work at in the beer industry because my name's Brewer?
It was a huge accident. My career path. I was going to go to college and get a degree and become an English teacher.
So what happened?
Tell them the history, Bob.
I was supporting my wife's education, and I got a job working at the Renaissance fairs that used to be in Marin County, and also the Dickens Christmas Fair. I think we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting job, and I was doing groundskeeping and all of that, and the lady who produced it said that they had gotten a nonprofit organization beer license, and could I put together some booths to sell the beer concessions? And of course I could. Well, of course, no problem. And I wrestled up a local distributor, and he set me up, and it became a creature to what you wouldn't believe, and I learned a whole lot about beer. And I also met Fritz Maytag, the owner of the brewery, who at the time was actually delivering the kegs for the brewery, and he came in with a truckload to deliver some kegs of Anchor Steam Beer to one of the Dickens fairs in San Francisco. And he came in a hand truck, and I bossed him around and told him where to drop the kegs off and everything. So,
people think Fritz didn't work. He did.
Well, as history had it, Fritz worked for me for half a day before I ever started working for him.
How long did you work for Anchor?
Oh, 32 years, I think.
Oh, my God.
He was there after I retired. He was there for a number of years.
And you started in 71.
71.
Yeah. Wow. Because you said to me outside, you said, we've worked together forever, and wow.
Yeah. Well, Bob used to come. Bob's a draft expert. Any bar out there that needs draft help, Bob Brewer is the man who could take it care of it for you. I guarantee it. Bob used to come in and complain to me that we were putting too much, or the steam beer was too carbonated, and one day, and steam beer was supposed to be carbonated.
And you're making this stuff.
Yeah,
this guy comes up to you.
Complain, and I'd say, you know, it's supposed to be carbonated. And one day he drags me out to Tommy's joint and asks to show me how it was too carbonated. But we became friends. And anyway, you go ahead with your history, Bob.
Time came when I needed a real job. Had a family and this and that and the other thing. So beer distributor in Marin County offered me a job. So I kind of transitioned and went to work for a beer distributor. Now I was hip deep in it. And at that particular point, I decided that I was having more fun and working in the beer industry than I possibly could be as be an English teacher. So, and then in the fullness of time, I mean, I worked for him for 8 years and kept my hand in because I was the salesman for the Renaissance fairs and things, and eventually I ended up moving back to Southern California And one day Mark calls me up and says, hey, Bob, we got a job for you.
Yep. We were having problems with draft in Southern California. And Fritz said to me, well, what's Bob doing? And because he hadn't worked for us up to that point. And I said, I'll bet you he'd love to come to work for us. So,
yeah, the rest is history.
Why didn't you try and become a brewer? And I'll stop talking about your last name, but I mean.
Well, okay.
You know, you're a draft expert, you're this and that. I mean, didn't you ever have
my,
that?
My skill set, I guess, that I developed was someplace else. I wasn't a cook. I wasn't that guy that was going to sit there and make the beer. I was the guy that was going to run around town, and I was going to sell it, and I was going to interact with the customers, and
right on.
I was going to be hands-on with the draft systems and all of that. And I figured, well, Mark can make it, and I'll sell it.
But being in charge of draft, it really is part of brewing.
I mean, explain that further.
Okay. Well, when you set up a draft system, all breweries have problems that you're not in charge of the draft system. It's not yours. It's the bar's draft system.
And so
now when your beer doesn't pour, it comes out too foamy or it's not coming out fast enough. Bob is the miracle man that'll go in and solve the problem. And he truly can. And there are, I think, fewer and fewer people today that can do it. And quite honestly, I think the level of carbonation in craft beer, and Bob can correct me, is really gone down and down in order to make it pour more easily for a common level.
That's true. Level of carbonation gives the beer a little bit of a bite to it and nice head on it and exposes the aromas and so on and so forth. But it can be difficult trying to get it out of the faucet. And there's all sorts of things they call it system balancing, how much pressure you put on it, how long the line is, how cold it is, and this and that. And the less carbonation, the easier it is. And a lot of people have defaulted, especially little breweries. They just defaulted to lower levels of carbonation just to make things easier.
And, Mark, what does that do to the beer?
A lot of these IPAs, the focus isn't on carbonation, you know. But there's a lot of beers that need to be carbonated. Lager beers, for instance. I once went to Olympia, great old brewery, by the way. I mean, really well-run, nice old brewery. It's too bad it's gone. The brewmaster up there told me, when he told me his carbonation level, I said, well, that's right. You're up there, it's like Anchor. And he says, oh, yeah, you can hide a lot of mistakes behind carbonation.
Ah.
Which I thought was kind of a funny comment. But
yeah.
But lagers need to be carbonated. IPAs, English ales traditionally are not carbonated. So they can be lower if they're ales. And if a hazy beer pretty much has to be a little lower in carbonation because that haze in the beer will cause it to foam more. And so if you do a higher carbonation, then you open the bottle or can at home and it foams like crazy and people can't live with that, you know, So people are used to a lower carbonation.
No bar owner wants to see a foamy beer on the tap and watch their profits go down the drain. And so you try and make a happy medium where even the most inept of bartenders, even you try and educate them, and it's all part of the deal, can pour a glass of beer without wasting half of it.
When you retired, have you been consulting at all? I mean,
I thought about it, but then I thought that it'd be best just to step aside and let everybody else make their own mistakes at this point.
You know, Anchor was bringing them in for a number of years for various events for the Great American Beer Festival.
Right.
Bob would drive their booth back, set it up, do the whole thing, and drive it back.
In Denver.
Yeah.
So you moved to Petaluma.
Well, I always had a house in Petaluma.
Oh, okay.
And when I was living in Southern California, I had it rented out, and then I came back up here for the last 5 years of my career at the brewery, and I worked at the brewery and in marketing, and they called me the trade relations manager. Essentially, I was the front guy that went out and did all the special events and went around to various bars and talked to people and bought beers and things like that. But.
And what do we have here from Anchor? These are cans.
The cans of Anchor Steam. I thought with Bob on, I should start with a little Anchor Steam, and these are big cans that are fairly new addition.
Yeah, really those are big cans.
Yeah, they are. I think it's 19-something ounces. But
19.2.
Yeah, I like that.
Is this what I'm tasting?
Yes, it is.
Damn good.
It's a damn good beer, isn't
Anchor
it?
Anchor Steam.
Yeah. You know, when Bob and I were selling beer in New York, there was at the very beginning of the craft movement. And New York City was way behind the rest of the world, believe it or not.
Yeah,
that's hard to believe. The bars in New York, those guys just they're stuck with what they're doing and they don't want to change. And it was a funny thing that at that time, they wanted to charge the same amount of money for every beer they sold. And so they didn't want to pay more. And Bob and I actually got him to pay a little more.
We are back. It is officially now the Drive Hop Monk Brew Ha Ha. Mark Carpenter, her Linda, and Bob Brewer, formerly of Anchor. He's retired and back in Petaluma now. He's sticking around. He's a big fan of sour beers, as I've said for years. I'm not, but maybe Bob can convince me, because we've got today with us, it's Shady Oak Barrel Brewing. Steve, welcome, man.
Thanks for having me.
Give us the Shady Oak Barrel story.
Well, it's called Shady Oak Barrel House, and I'm mostly a sour producer, and that's kind of my thing, what I like to do. I'm trying to pour it all here.
You want me to pour it?
Right now. You want to pour it? Yeah.
I'll pour it.
Yeah. Pour away.
Wow.
Pour away. Here's the
so
bottle.
You can talk.
And I finally got to open my tap room a few weeks ago. Black Friday was our first official big grand opening day.
And tell everyone you're on First Street?
I'm at 420 First Street. And, yes, I'm serious about that address. That's
where I'm at. Of course you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And it worked out well, and it's a great location. So, you know, come by, drink
beer.
You
guys do food and stuff, or is it just...
We have food trucks coming.
Oh, cool.
We're still trying to nail the schedule down, but, yeah, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturday, Sunday, have a different food truck every day is kind of the idea.
So how did this all begin?
What got me into brewing, you mean? Where do you want to start?
And Shady Oak. I mean, you own the Shady Oak.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Basically, I was getting out of the wine industry. I was a lab tech for, I don't know, 7 years, something like that.
Really?
Yeah. And but I'm not a wine drinker. I can't stand the stuff. And I mean, drink some. Right, yeah, you know.
And see, I'm a wine guy, and
right.
I'm not a big
overpriced,
beer guy.
Dirty sugar water, I guess. Yeah, no, that's cool if you want it. And so I wanted to make something delicious and something different, and IPA is kind of the king, and that's fine. I wanted to make something besides that. A big thing about craft beer and what made craft beer was everyone was saying, we want other choices. Well, it's kind of weird that we're all IPA right now. Even with all these other choices, everyone wants to just drink IPA.
Yeah.
I want to make sour. And this is what I want to make.
And it says on your website, sour and wild artisanal ales.
Yes, it does.
What's the artisanal part?
Me doing it by hand and my method. All my barrels I coop myself, like have to recoop and work on. Fruit additions.
But it's all sour, everything. Yeah,
besides that IPA, I'm giving just for you.
Oh, that's
and
okay.
It's artisanal. When you make beers like this and barrel to barrel, that's the definition of artisanal. Okay.
The amount of work that goes into it is just obscene.
Do I get to keep the thing?
No.
It's too cool. I had a feeling I wouldn't.
Yeah, those stickers are expensive there. But feel free to open that growler up because I do serve IPAs as well.
So you do. Now you were named the best new brewery in California in 2017 on Rate Beer Best, I believe.
I don't remember the year.
It's when we had the festival here in Santa Rosa.
I thought that was 2015, but something like that. Yeah.
It might have been for the 2015 that we in the festival that we did in 2016.
That sounds right. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you didn't even have a tap room or anything yet.
No, I was just in a tiny little shed over off of Piner Road and just doing what I had to do there. But now, so since we're at the new building, the tap room, everything else, like we're growing much bigger now.
All right, I'm going to taste this.
Okay.
Tell me about this. Yeah, I love the color. The color, it does look like wine. It looks like almost a rosé.
And remember what Jay and Alex said from Rare Barrel? They said, you got to taste a sour three times.
Mm-hmm.
The first time is for the shock.
The three-sip rule.
Yep, the three-sip rule.
That's really? What I did at that Lagunitas class with you.
All right, here's sip one.
That's like Retsina. The second bottle is always better.
Right.
Because you're so drunk.
And he's making the face.
Yeah.
Sip one, the shock.
Sip one's a shock.
All right. Sip two.
sip two.
Is the shock two.
Right. Okay, yeah, no.
See,
that's,
and it's, little,
it's not that
different.
Much more acidic than any wine you would drink.
And then sip
well,
three.
You know,
this
just take,
is not
just
as bad as I was expecting. Here's
thank
here
you.
Six.
So there's an endorsement.
Thanks. Yeah, go for sip three already.
Well, what you're drinking
you could
is,
put that on the website. Steve yeah. Jackson says
I'll
it's
definitely
not
do
bad
that.
As I was
yeah.
expecting.
Yeah.
So this is the Cellar Wizard Series Barrel-Aged Sour with Pinot Noir grapes. 6.8 ABV. Actually, that's a little bit lower for some of the sours I've seen.
That's
out
actually
there.
A lot higher for most of them. Most sours end up being around 5 or 6%. It's just so much you can get certain
what am I even drinking?
bacteria species and wild yeast species working at that.
Steve Doty is here from Shady Oak Barrel House in Santa Rosa on First Street. It's the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha. Mark Carpenter, of course, and her Linda. And Bob Brewer, retired now from Anchor in San Francisco, is with us as well. He and Mark worked together at Anchor for many, many years. Let me just, before we get back into sour beers, and this, by the way, this IPA, Steve, is killer.
Thanks.
What's the alcohol on that?
6.0 or 6.2?
That's about perfect.
Yeah,
yeah, wouldn't you
right,
say?
Just about right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I just want to say I love Anchor Steam Beer. And Mark has talked about Anchor and the steam beer for many years on this segment. Let me ask Bob about this. Why is Anchor Steam Beer so popular and amazing? And it's one of my favorite all-time beers. And it's so popular. Why?
Because it's a wonderful beer.
Yeah, I'll drink to that.
Actually, the first beer that could be described as a craft beer, either it was the first craft brewery or a holdover from the 19th century, was always a San Francisco product. And it was always very well crafted. Fritz Maytag, who took over the brewery in 1965, introduced a few things to it that it didn't have before, such as product consistency and hospital-level cleanliness and all sorts of things that are very important in brewing. So you ended up with a very clean, very consistent, and very unique product. And it shows in the product. It shows in the bottle.
He's absolutely right. And I worry these days that Anchor is, because it is older in this whole scheme of things, that some people forget it. And you're drinking it today. It's just a delicious beer. It's a great quality beer.
And Mark, talk more about what the steam means. Where
well,
does
the
it
steam,
come from? And,
yeah, the steam,
so many people still think Anchor Brewing is actually called Anchor Steam Brewing. But steam beer is...
Is steam beer was a nickname given to the beer when these very early brewers in California were trying to make lager beer, and they couldn't make lager beer because they didn't have refrigeration. And so they made a kind of an ale-type beer, but they went through the Kreuznin process, which carbonates the beer, but it also cleans up some of the ale-like flavors and gets them out. And it went to these bars very highly carbonated, and then the kegs and barrels. And when they would tap it, they'd get a lot of foam, as Bob's familiar with, that we don't like these days. But anyway, they'd get a lot of foam. And somebody in the bar said, whoa, it looks like you're trying to tap a keg filled with steam. And it just took on that nickname.
Really?
You have to keep in mind, this mid-1800s steam was very modern with the steam engine and whatnot. And so it was just kind of a funny nickname. But and that beer went away in the rest of California once they got lager beer, but it survived in San Francisco because you could brew without refrigeration in San Francisco year-round because it stays cool enough.
Wow.
And so it's just a funny nickname for the beer.
I'm interested to know, like, so Steve, like, what were some of your beers? Like, so you're, like, in your, like, you're young. I won't say you throw your name out.
36.
Like, you're 30, yeah. So you're, yeah. Okay, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
What beers were, like, some of, like, your inspirations? Did you have any mentors? Like, what was your, like?
A bunch.
Like, yeah?
My first craft beer ever was Death and Taxes.
Ah,
still one of my favorite beers. After that, it was a combination of both Anchor and Sierra. And I still adore those beers and drink them all the time, pretty much. Some of my favorite beers. So,
yeah. And Brian, I'm still making Death and Taxes, a great beer.
Absolutely.
He'll be on next week, actually.
Yeah, we've got a few collaborations cooked up right now, which is kind of like, you know, doing that with, you know, your beer hero is pretty fun.
Since you mentioned that, you have a collaboration with going, I think it's interesting what you're doing that you don't have a brew house.
Yeah.
And tell us about that and explain just briefly what that means to the
listeners. Here. Hold on. We're pouring some apricot sour now, too. So empty your glasses.
Maybe you like this
ready.
One, too, Steve. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
So my method with what I do, most of it being sour production, most of it going into barrels, it didn't make a lot of financial sense for me to have an actual brew house. So what we do is we contract wort. With other breweries in the area. Right now, my main one is Hen House, but I did one even just this very morning. The batch is still going right now of a spontaneous beer with Three Disciples, and we'll work with other people as we need to going forward.
And when you say contract wort, that means you're buying the sweet liquid that's produced by the brew house. Every brewer starts with barley and malt, barley, malt, and hops.
And what happens, our method is we design a recipe that we want. We talk to the brewers, make sure it'll work out, and, you know, see how it'll go. And then they make the beer, and then I take it, ferment it, goes to barrel, goes to whatever culture, whatever additions I want to do. That kind of thing. You know, what I'm building at my place, I've got 300 plus barrels full right now, and that's a library for me. Mm. That's when I want to make a different blend of different whatever, I've got barrels to pull
from. And most
of
these are wine barrels, 59-gallon barrels?
Ish. So most of them are wine barrels, used wine barrels, which just because I've gotten them locally, most of them are French oak barrels, and at what a winemaker would call neutral. Meaning that they don't get a lot of oak character out of them anymore. So but beer
these,
does.
These are been used for wine.
Yes. Yes. But I also have spirit barrels. I have gin barrels, bourbon barrels.
Oh, okay.
I have some puncheons, port barrels. Yeah,
they give some flavor, like with that.
They all
know,
have
the
their
wine
own,
or whatever, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They all have their own unique thing.
Do you and use any new barrels?
Not really. The newest oak I have is my gin barrels.
Oh, okay.
From a local distillery that they age in them for maybe 6 months, and then they're done, and then I get them. So there's a lot of screaming
gin left
oak
in there.
And gin botanical character, and I love what it does in the liquid. Yeah. Yeah.
Bob, you have said that you're a big fan of sour beer.
Is it true? Yes.
Tell me about that and why.
And your thoughts on my beer.
He wants to know.
I discovered sour beers a long time ago. And they were generally unavailable in the United States because they were only produced in Belgium.
Wow.
And so you had to take what you could get. And they were not the best. They were takes a while for that stuff to get over here and not being very popular, hard to find. And then some local breweries started making them. But I always really enjoyed them because they were so different.
They are different.
As I was explaining to her, Linda, here very briefly, when I was young, I suffered a very badly broken nose, and I didn't get it fixed until I was in my 30s.
Wow.
And as such,
it looks fine now.
Thank you very much.
I didn't
have a very good olfactory sense, so I gravitated toward things that had very strong flavors to kind of compensate for that. And then later on, after I got everything taken care of, that opened up a whole new world, and I almost had to learn to smell all over again.
Wow.
But I had discovered in the process sour beers because I really enjoyed the finish. I enjoyed that nice little tangy flavor in the end, and also the fact that no two were alike. They were made by different producers, much having to do traditionally because they were finishing these beers in barrels that were never really cleaned. You always had some lingering remnants of the previous occupant of the barrel there that would affect the character of the beer, and hence you get these very
like
tangy.
Steve was saying about the barrels he uses, be it old gin barrels
or gin barrels.
Wine.
Yeah, you're always going to get some character.
What do you think?
You know. These days, sour beers have been reverse engineered so that they can the brewmaster or the producer can actually introduce the culture that they want to get a very specific character of the product.
But that doesn't mean we don't have to fight with whatever character is in the barrel after we
get
it.
Well, that's part of the magic now, isn't it?
Exactly. That's the fun.
And so I very much enjoyed them, and I'm just delighted that sour beers are coming back. Now, like a lot of other things that people are experimenting with, there are some sour beers out there that I do not like. And I think if there's
is it because they're too sour or not sour enough or just
the brewer missed the mark.
Yeah, or no balance. So
and no balance. Okay,
yeah.
So they're right. Either they're not sour enough or they're just. I find them to taste the way you think they all taste.
So I would take that as I would an IPA as well. There's plenty of IPAs I've had that are great, but there's plenty where the brewers miss the mark there as well.
You're not going to get any argument from me on that.
Exactly.
One.
And so then that's the thing with sour.
However, the first domestically produced sour beer that I ever had came from Russian River.
Okay.
And I thought it was just delightful.
Yeah.
I was just all over myself with that one.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to see that. And not only you, but many other people are actually making sour beers. And like a lot of other craft beers, they're redefining the style a little bit. And some of them that they're called sour beers, but they don't really bear much resemblance to the traditional Belgian sour beers. But sour
agreed. Beers. We're kind of making. I mean, this is all new territory, you know. And so American sour producers are all kind of taking from tradition, but also making.
Well,
their
from
own
what
thing.
I've sampled with the two beers here, you're doing a good job.
Thank you
and
so
I
much.
I have to particularly compliment you on this one.
I'm glad
you're the apricot sour farmhouse.
Only because, and it's a story that's too long to tell here, is that I just absolutely hate, loathe, and despise apricots.
Really?
Yes.
So I tricked you into liking an apricot beer.
No, you didn't trick. I had eyes wide open.
Okay.
But the fact that it's a sour beer more than overcomes that. So.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Indeed.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thanks, Bob.
One of the things that I notice with people who are craft beer aficionados is that they will lock into one style.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much where they're at. And they don't like to go outside of that. And hence, if it's an IPA, I'll take the IPA. And I don't care who makes it, it's the IPA. But there are so many other ones I was always a big IPA fan. But yes. The sour beers.
The apricot in this is like when you it's like just when you've like bitten into like a Turkish dried apricot, like, and it has that little bit of tang that even the apricot itself has.
Mm-hmm.
No sweetness, just the lightly sour. This one's like lightly sour compared to the other one, Steve. I'm going to throw it over to Jackson. I'm like, I think you'd like this one maybe.
Yeah.
But Mark, you're probably like, you don't.
It's
you're
got
not,
a great
yeah.
Kind of dried apricot taste to
yeah,
it. I don't
thanks.
Know if you use dried apricot.
Yeah. What is, how do you put fruit into a sour beer anywhere
so
in the barrel? Is it in the barrel?
I try to do whole fruit, like the Pinot, for example, I got in Russian River Valley. Don't remember the apricot, but like I did Santa Rosa plums, I do Feijoas, I do a bunch of different grapes, I do berries, I do
when
guava.
Do you put that into a sour beer if you're getting
so the general
wort already
rule
made.
With sour brewing, the general idea with sour brewing is you want to make sure that beer is done and you like it and everything's good and it's essentially, you know, ready to go, but you want to tweak it, you want to add something else, then you add your fruit. I roughly add 2 pounds of fruit per gallon directly into the barrel.
Wow.
Okay.
So it
that's
starts
a lot of
another
fruit.
Yes, yeah. It is. So yeah, exactly. So it starts a whole nother fermentation.
So do you have to empty part of the barrel then to do that? I mean,
little bit.
Yeah.
And that goes into kegs.
It's taking up a lot of
going
room.
Going to my kegerator at home.
Yeah.
But because you're adding this fruit, it undergoes the full fermentation. So you're getting the taste of the skin,
yeah.
The fresh fruit, sugar, as well as it being done. And the other things, the seed, the pit that it leaves behind. That's kind of the idea about this. Like, I want the skin. I want the pit. You know, that's why you're getting dried as well as fresh. Yeah.
Do
at the same
I
time.
Get a little bit of Brett in here, or is this?
There, you better be. Yeah. There better be.
Let's talk about protanomyces.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of Brett in there.
I didn't think it was that
okay,
much.
Wait a minute.
Really,
did you say Brett?
Yeah. Or Brett?
Brett.
Don't scare the wine guy.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. There's plenty of Brett in there. As there is most of my beers, except for the clean IPA there.
Boy, I wouldn't call that a whole lot. I judged some Brett beers in Denver. Holy mackerel. It was some of them were.
It depends on how you work with it. You know, there's so many I think it's Chalurzo that said working with Saccharomyces is like a dog. You can tell it what to do and it'll do that. Working with Brett is like working with a cat. You can tell it what you want it to do. It might do it.
The great Vinny Chalurzo.
Yeah, maybe.
Russian River,
if yeah.
He usually listens every Tuesday.
I want to remind everyone, not only on Wednesdays when we have California Wine Country, we've got the podcast available everywhere. Great podcasts are offered, including calwinecountry.com. We now have, thanks to Chris DiMatteo, the Brouhaha podcast. And I'll turn that to her, Linda.
So you can actually listen anytime from anywhere in the world, which all my international friends are really excited about. You can listen to the Brouhaha podcast on iTunes and Spotify and the usual suspects, or you can go straight to Brouhaha, Brewhaha radio.com to see the list of the podcasts, who's been on, a little bit about them, and like your favorite place to listen.
Very cool. Okay. I wanted to ask Bob about the Dickens Fair. It's started November 17th. It runs through the 23rd of December, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. Give us all the info on the Dickens Fair.
The Dickens Christmas Fair is produced by the people who used to produce the Renaissance Fairs in Marin County, if anybody remembers those interesting things.
Novato.
Yes, in Novato.
Yeah, and, I was there a couple times, and then I went...
Black Point.
I'm not so sure, but okay. Never mind.
They decided to put on an indoor fair in the wintertime.
Right.
Because they had a fair in Los Angeles, and they tried to keep their people and their craftsmen and their entertainers working. And I actually worked for that outfit for 7 or 8 years back in the day. And the Renaissance Fair is gone from the Bay Area right now. I think it's in Gilroy, but different ownership. But the son of the original producers has maintained this Dickens Christmas Fair.
Kevin Patterson.
Yes. And it is a Charles Dickens Christmas Carol-themed crafts and entertainment indoor festival that's really quite charming, with 7 theaters and a lot of sing-alongs, a lot of food, and a lot of Christmas crafts and 19th century costuming.
It's very cool. It's DickensFair.com, and I'm looking at the website and the photos and such. So cool. And it runs, from the 17th of November to December 23rd.
Yeah, it's got a long run. It's being an indoor festival, they're trying to capture the entire Thanksgiving all the way up through Christmas season.
Right, yeah.
With the crafts and Christmas-themed things.
I just love these photos, Bob. I mean, this is so cool. This must be a lot of work for these people. I mean, good Lord.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's so much fun.
I can't imagine.
They've had a lot of the same people doing it for like 25 years.
Yeah.
And they know what they're doing.
There's beer and dancing and food. I was there last Saturday, actually, and it was Bob's birthday party then. Got to see him there.
Sagittarius? But...
Yes.
Me too, buddy.
There you go. Okay. I'm the 21st.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm the 15th on Saturday, along with Bill Bowker from The Crush and Pat Kerrigan from KSRO.
And my daughter.
And your daughter, yeah.
By the way, Bob has friends everywhere, and when you're traveling with Bob, you can be in the middle of an airport. Dallas-Fort Worth, we were talking about earlier. You walk through there, I guarantee someone is going to yell, "Hey, Bob."
Because you traveled all over with Anchor,
the whole country, yeah.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Bob always insisted if no one recognized you in Dallas-Fort Worth, you weren't much of a salesman.
And then also, Steve, you've got an event this Saturday, right,
for your new
tap room.
Yeah, let me plug that. So Saturday we're doing a big... holiday, like local artists, local artisans, local jewelers, local craftspeople. We're doing a big holiday fair right before the
music, bands, beer?
Not music. We're going to have food. We're going to have, obviously, beer. We're going to have brew. The coffee shop's coming by you, too.
Oh, I love
this is at Japanese the Shady food. Oak Barrel House.
And this is at 420 First Street at Shady Oak. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, come by. Buy some awesome stuff. Like, the artists that are doing stuff, like, they're all amazing. So... check out the Facebook or the Instagram, and it shows everything they do.
Maybe by. Still amazing. Have to pick up some gifts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
come
and
by.
It, pick yeah, up and then they stuff. Can walk down over to Willoughby's and pick up some stuff, too.
And Willoughby's in Petaluma and Santa Rosa. I know Mark is a huge fan.
Huge fan of the Petaluma store right across from the railroad station. Lots of variety. If you don't see it, they'll get it for you.
And they're great people, too.
Yeah, they have a wine tasting tonight right there that started at... 5 downtown on 3rd Street at the Santa Rosa, and you can go down there. God, they do some good. I did a whiskey tasting with them last Friday. That was amazing. Yeah, they have a lot of good stuff.
Willoughby's, folks, a proud sponsor of the Drive Brouhaha, along with Hop Monk. Mark Carpenter, God bless you, my son.
And you, sir.
All right.
We're getting close to Christmas, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Are we going to see – are we doing this next – Thursday?
Yes.
We are. Okay. So we'll see you guys next Thursday.
Yeah, Moonlight Brewing is going to be on next week with Brian Hunt and the folks that make that Hippie Dust popcorn that you fell in love with a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And everybody will remember them from all the festivals all over Sonoma County.
Steve Doty. Brian Hunt's coming, we'll have good beer.
Oh, Steve Doty, Shady Oak Barrel House, 420 First Street, Santa Rosa. They got a big event going. Is that tomorrow or
Saturday? We got a big event Saturday, but we are open now Wednesday to Sunday.
All right.
Come by. Drink beer. Hang out.
Good to see you, man. And you need to come back, too.
Okay.
And keep us posted on everything that's going on. Bob Brewer.
Great beers.
Long time. What did you say? 32 years with Anchor in San Francisco?
Yeah, pretty close. I forget. But, yeah. I think 32 years.
Well, great to see you, man.
Oh, it's fun coming by.
And you're living in Petaluma, so you got to come up with Mark more often.
There we go.
There you go. You guys just carpool up. Yes. There you go.
Again, to check out the great Dickens Christmas Fair, go to dickensfair.com. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Linda. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks,
Mark, as always.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Have a great night,
everybody.
Thrilled
to have you.